Mickey Dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great.
We are in the same room.
We are. Isn't that frightening?
No.
No? Okay.
Just means the end of the world. But, you know, when the two shall get together, the earth will split in two. Something like that. There's a prophecy. I don't know what
it is. There's a prophecy.
Where it's like Harry Potter. Everybody has a prophecy in the big room.
In the big room, yeah. with all the little snow globes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a prophecy about everybody. You just don't know which one's yours. So, I didn't mean to bring the cold weather with me. I'm sorry.
You did, but apparently it's gotten away, so it's warmed up a little bit, so...
Yeah, just a
little
okay.
bit. Okay, you can stay.
Okay. Thanks. Permanently, or...?
Sure, if you want to.
I don't know. The traffic out there kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It seems a lot worse than when I lived here.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's incredibly worse.
I mean, there is, 900 restaurants within a mile radius of each other?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot. And all the souvenirs that you could ever want.
That's right.
You want a t-shirt that'll last one wearing and then become a dust rag?
Hey, for $2...
You can get them for $2. Anything you want. But drove down yesterday... Hit a lot of traffic, you know, in all the places you would expect, downtown Orlando,
mm-hmm.
Right in front of the theme parks. We ran into traffic right in front of, was it Jacksonville? Yeah. And then right in front of Altamont Springs, right by the I-4 and I-4. But, you know, is what it is. But how have you been?
I've been fantastic. Living here in the greatest state in the greatest country for a couple of more weeks.
Yeah, well, you know.
But yeah, been busy.
Well, that's good.
And hopefully it quiets down for the big holiday season, so happy holidays.
Yes, we are... Full in swing of the holiday season, the reason I'm down here. You know, for whatever it's worth. Sorry, just answering my kid.
Uh-oh.
Nah, it's fine. So you gave me an assignment last week to finish Cobra Kai.
Yes.
I did.
Okay.
very bold move to end the second part of the final season with a giant melee fight.
Mm-hmm.
So the female coach from the team that gets thrown out is a professional wrestler. And I recognized her and I was like, when they got kicked out, I was like, well, that's a weird cameo to kind of put in there, not thinking that anything else would come of it.
Right.
And then this big brawl breaks out. And I'm like, now I understand why they hired professional athletes to come in and be the students and kind of kick the shit out of each other.
Because right.
They're all used to choreography and, you know, whatnot. But, yeah, it was pretty wild. I don't think it was very... true to life. I don't think...
No? You didn't think it was realistic?
No. I think as soon as the main guy started swinging, somebody would have stopped them.
You would think.
It wouldn't turn into a free-for-all where all the karate teams just start beating the shit out of each other.
Yes.
And not a lot of blood in the main fight.
No.
you know, you get to the ending where you believe that one of the heroes or major villains is going to die. And I guess a major villain kind of does, but you don't really have anything wrapped up in him.
Right.
Like, they didn't build his character, so when he died, I was just like, eh. It's just the dude with the anime hair. I mean,
right.
I don't know what his name is. I don't really care about him. You know, if it had been Hawk or somebody else that you had grown with for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
you'd be like, oh, shit, that's sad.
Right.
Just a dead kid.
It's like, oh, okay.
I mean, this is America. We got dead kids all over the place.
Thoughts and prayers to Cobra Kai.
I mean, usually it's with a gun, but, you know, knives, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know how they wrap this season up, well, the finale up, that's going to be satisfactory. Is that the word I'm thinking of? Because they have a lot to do for 5 episodes.
They do. And I'm wondering how this rolls into the new movie.
Yeah. I wonder if Jackie Chan has a cameo at the end. Maybe Jackie Chan is a family member of the guy that Miyagi killed.
It's a revenge thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And Daniel goes to say sorry for some stupid reason, and that starts a rivalry.
Okay.
And instead of Jackie Chan being the good guy, he's the antagonist.
Hmm. Interesting.
I don't know. I wasn't there when they had the meeting, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, they probably forgot to invite you to that one.
They forget to invite me.
It was one. Zoom only, so.
Yeah. He said, no, not him. But yeah, I mean, it's still way better than it has any right to be,
right,
as a TV show, which I don't know if it's the nostalgia thing.
I think that's a big part of it.
Or yeah, it's amazing how sucked in you get to something like that, to where all of a sudden you're like, oh, but this is like the Karate Kid. Like, it wasn't the Karate Kid was popular when I was a kid, but it was nothing that me and my friends were ever like, oh, we should go be karate people.
Right.
Like, there were tons of movies where you got influenced to like, oh, maybe we should do this, or maybe we should do that. Maybe we should start a band. Whatever. Cobra Kai was never, or Karate Kid was never one of those things of like, I should take up karate. And maybe people did. Because in the movies, you know, karate is like the most popular thing the kids do.
Sure.
In high school. At least in the Valley.
In the Valley. Maybe that's Valley. It. Maybe it was very regional.
Maybe. Because, I mean, I know we have karate places around where I live, but they're not running around like the kings of the town, like beating people up at like the Walmart.
They're not?
Well, not that I know of. Well, they might be. But, you know. So what have you watched this week?
What have I watched this week? I finished Nautilus.
Okay.
Highly recommend.
Okay.
Very well done. Follows a lot of the book.
Okay.
You know, they go under the polar ice caps and some really clever storytelling there. And it's basically Nemo's origin story.
Okay.
So he's stolen the sub from the company.
Okay.
One of the Indies trading companies. And he ends up taking hostages, but they're not really hostages, and it's kind of this interesting group of people. There's a Maori warrior with the full face tattoo.
Okay.
There's an older woman bringing a younger woman to her arranged marriage. There's a black orphan kid, a bunch of, you know, odd characters who kind of play this out. And the ending of it was just great because they survived everything on the submarine. And okay. Then they go back to to London to basically have their revenge on the Indies Trading Company.
Okay.
And the way they do it's really clever. It's still action adventure, but the last episode was very calculating and very lots of twists and turns. You're not quite sure what their game is until the very end, and definitely sets up a sequel season. So we'll see if somebody picked it up.
That'd be a shame. I mean, if it's that good.
Yeah,
I mean, we talked about like Disney being probably kicking themselves. You know, especially if it does well.
Right.
But yeah, I need to. Are you watching that on Amazon, or are you watching that a different way?
I'm watching it on an alternate method.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, that's how I watch most of my stuff, so.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they've said anything about a season two. But hey, we can hope. We can hope, because it was really well done. I think it paid off well. And you saw kind of the maniacal Nemo, but then he was also somewhat sympathetic to the crew, and just the way it was shot and the way they told the story, I really, really enjoyed.
Okay.
It's like they get stranded at the polar ice cap with the vessel that is bringing the young woman's fiance. And they have like this epic cricket match in the snow. And it's like, well, that's kind of cool.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen it, seek it out. It's really something worth watching.
Okay.
What else have I watched? There hasn't been a lot on this past week.
No, I've been kind of struggling to like find something to watch at lunch at work. Like, I'm still watching Day of the Jackal.
Okay.
It's very different than the Jackal movie. I feel like it's more realistic in the way that a modern assassin would be tracked by like federal agencies.
Okay.
Like, they're picking up clues and they're tracking him down, and he's got to like get out of all these situations. And there's unexpected situations that he finds himself in. And, I feel like Eddie Redmayne is a really good actor when given the proper material.
Okay.
You know, he's fine as Newt Scamander. I never watched what he won the Oscar for. The Other Woman. I think that's what it was.
The Girl on the Train?
I don't know. I don't remember what it was. I mean, and he admits that, like, a lot of the stuff that he had signed on to was just terrible. Like, that Wachowski movie.
The Danish Girl. No, that was nominated.
What did he win for?
The Theory of Everything.
Okay, so I saw The Theory of Everything. I thought he was really good in that.
Okay.
I never saw
the Stephen Danish Hawking Girl. Movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I really feel like I really liked him in Les Mis.
Okay.
Like, I think given the proper material, he's a really good actor, but I think he's misguided in a lot of stuff that he signs on to, and he admits that. Like, I think he won the Oscar the year that he got the best, the worst performance Razzie for Jupiter Ascending.
Okay.
Where he's terrible. And you look at it and you're like, how? And then you come down to, oh, well, maybe the directors weren't great. Which, I mean, begs the question, are the Wachowskis good filmmakers?
Yeah.
Because when you look at the stuff that they've done, you look at, like, Bound was okay. Matrix was amazing, but the sequels weren't that great.
No, they were not that good.
And then you look at the stuff they did after that, like Speed Racer and Jupiter Ascending, and you're like, maybe the Matrix gave them too big of an ego to understand what made the Matrix great. And it was just good storytelling. And then, you know, they're given a shitload of money and that good storytelling goes away. It must be very hard to be in that situation. I don't think a lot of directors handle that very well. Especially like team directors.
Yeah.
I think the Russo brothers are the exception. I think the Russo brothers understand how to use each other's talents. I think like the Wachowskis, for as revolutionary as they were, I don't think they can recreate that. Which is, I mean, just be producers then. I mean, V for Vendetta was good, and they only produced that, so. But yeah, I mean, if you like intrigue and suspense, Day of the Jackal's pretty good.
Okay.
I watched the new Dune TV show.
Oh, you did?
Dune I'm sorry. Prophecy.
I'm sorry.
So I've made no secret of the fact that while I think the Dune movies are pretty, they're really boring.
Yes.
And I have tried several times to get into them like other people have gotten into them, and I just can't do it.
There's too many characters.
Yeah.
And it's not going to get a multi-year release like Game of Thrones, which has too many characters.
Yeah.
And the material isn't all that accessible.
No. And so I went into Dune Prophecy with a pretty low bar of like, I mean, it's something to watch. It's science fiction. Like, how bad could this be? And it's the founding of, I forget what they call them, the Sister Jesuits?
The Ben Jesuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's 10,000 years before Paul Atreides is born.
Mm-hmm.
But all the houses are there, like House Atreides and House Harkonnen and all that. They're all mentioned. But you're basically watching people in a nunnery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what am I supposed to be getting from this? Like, it's the first episode. They're just setting shit up. I really like Travis Fimmel.
Mm-hmm.
He was great in Vikings. And so, like, I want to really give it a chance for him. But it's not starting out well for me.
No.
I was just like, what are we doing, man? The hour, I think it was an hour and 5 minutes, felt like 2 hours. And I was just like, I hope they're shorter than this. I hope it gets better. I mean, did you watch the...
No.
They bring in... Are you gonna?
No.
Okay. So they bring in this little kid. So the main storyline is that you find out that this group of women is coercing marriages between houses for power.
Right.
And how they're going to line everything up. And so the main house that they're following, I think it's the emperor's daughter. She gets engaged to like an 8-year-old kid. And I'm looking at this kid and I'm like, I've seen him somewhere before. And he is the kid from the Matilda movie that they released a couple of years ago that eats the cake.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, good for him that he's in like something this big.
Right.
And then Travis Fimmel comes along and kills him. But like, somehow burns him alive with his mind.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, we just killed a kid. What are we doing? Like, I'm sure this is going to be explained, but like, that's a really dark ending to the first episode. So I was just like, all right, whatever. But it's a little intense, but it's super boring.
It's very complicated.
Oh, God, yeah.
And what you're going to start finding out is that these women are able to control what sex child they can have.
Right.
So they're able to manipulate the family line and...
Right, and they're collecting, like, DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess collecting in a way... direct deposit, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a... I don't know. I liked the 1984 movie, but even that I had trouble with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just the material.
Or it what. Is.
Is it?
Or I don't think any director has figured out how to actually capture it.
Okay.
Because it's such a huge story that they're trying to tell in, you know, 3.5 hours.
Didn't Sci-Fi do a miniseries?
Mm-hmm.
Did they get it right?
No.
No?
No. Not at all.
Wow. Okay. Well, maybe Dune's just not my thing. And like I said, I love the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Denis Villeneuve did really well with, like, capturing a visual,
mm-hmm.
stunning cinematography.
Right.
But if you can't get into the story.
Well, and there were so many characters in the book that he kind of hacked and slashed their importance in his two films.
Okay.
So, you know, even the Paul's sister, who he sees at the end of the first movie in kind of a dream sequence, is actually present at that time.
Okay.
As a little child.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, the first book is really good. The books after that become kind of bizarre. Like, Paul becomes the worm.
Oh. Well, I can't wait to see Timothée Chalamet as a worm.
Sure.
I'm hearing good things about his Dylan impression. I'm sure his sandworm impression
is better. His sandworm will be great.
Timothée Chalamet?
Timothée.
He should have gone with that pronunciation. Make everybody call him Timothée.
Well, speaking of being one episode in, I've started watching the new Taika Waititi series, Interior Chinatown.
Okay.
I don't know what to think of it yet.
Okay.
It's about a struggling actor who happens to be working in a Chinese restaurant. He's Asian. And he witnesses a kidnapping and... somehow the kidnapping is connected to his older brother's disappearance. His older brother is kind of a kung fu star.
Oh.
And, I'm not sure where it's going. And at the end of the episode, he's told that the woman he saw being kidnapped was killed. But he sees her alive. Oh. So I think there's going to be a whole, you know... Jack Nicholson, Chinatown kind of underground thing going on. First episode was directed by Taika. The rest are not, so I don't know what that means.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
In fact, there's a lot of different directors.
Did he produce it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, his name's all over it.
Okay.
Every episode...
So it's like The Mandalorian.
Yeah, exactly. Every episode has... there's one woman who has two episodes she's directed.
Okay.
Interesting premise. We'll see where it goes. It felt very much like it was made for Hulu.
Okay.
So I don't know where they're going to go with 10 episodes, but I'll give it a shot because there's not much else on. Although,
yeah,
next weekend we get Skeleton Crew.
We do, and I don't know how to feel about that.
I don't either.
I don't feel it was made for us. But
who is it made for? Who the hell do they think is going to watch this show?
Kids.
But are they watching any of the Star Wars stuff?
See,
I mean, Clone Wars and Bad Batch were not made for kids.
No, but that little Jedi show was... And I feel like...
The one about the younglings?
Yes. And I feel like that's the target audience.
I guess.
In live action. I don't know how it's going to be received. You know, nobody hates Star Wars more than its fans.
Right.
And so I have reflected on The Acolyte,
mm-hmm.
and what they tried to do. And I appreciate that they tried to do something different.
Right.
I liked seeing Jedi in their prime, even if they couldn't stand up to one Sith guy. It was cool to see them operating as intended. It wasn't towards the end of their power. It wasn't an old guy and a robot fighting. It was the Jedi kind of at their strength.
Right.
I think they introduced a couple of really interesting characters, like Quimmer and
mm-hmm.
Saul, I thought was really interesting. The conflict that he had.
Right.
But the Star Wars fans just destroyed that show.
Right.
And I'm afraid they're going to see a bunch of little kids and be like, fuck this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd rather have shitty Star Wars and no Star Wars. And I know that the Disney edict is that they're going to try to do more theatrical things.
Right.
But I don't want to wait years in between Star Wars stuff.
No. No.
Like, that's going to suck. And so, I don't know. I just don't know if it was made for me. It's Goonies in space.
It's Goonies in space. Or it's Explorers.
Yeah.
It does feature Jaleel White as a pirate.
Yeah, but did you see the pictures of him?
Mm-hmm.
He looks like the techno kids from Book of Boba Fett.
Yes.
Like, it's not lived in. It's too clean.
Right.
And I just don't know what to do with that. I mean, there's that stuff in the trailer where the kids live in, like, a suburb.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they just shot in a suburb somewhere and then digitally altered the houses to have, like, Greeblies on it.
Hmm.
And I'm just like, that's not Star Wars.
No.
I mean, I think if they had called it the Skeleton Crew and not tied it to the Star Wars universe, that might have been, like, a cool idea.
Right.
You know, because there have been Disney shows built around kids that I enjoy, like the Secret Benedict Society, or mm-hmm. whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Like, I love that show, and they killed that.
Right.
But that was all kids. You know, I don't know. Jude Law, I guess, is a Jedi that isn't a Jedi anymore.
Yeah.
But
they're saying that he survived Order 66, or yeah. at least that's the rumor.
And when does this take place? This is at the same time as Mandalorian, right?
I think so.
Because one of the pirates is the same as in Mandalorian.
That's Hondo.
Isn't it? Is it Hondo?
Isn't it Hondo?
No, it was one of the pirates that attacked Nevarro.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
He's one of the pirates in Skeleton Crew, so I'm assuming that it's the same timeline, but I don't know. I mean, he looks like one
it's
of
that
the,
one.
He looks like one of the tech guys from Book of Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm. Do you think at some point something's going to go wrong? He's going to go, did I do that?
He better. He fucking better. But yeah, I mean, again, I don't know what to make of it. I'm really going to have to watch the first one.
You're going to watch all of them. You know you are.
I don't know.
Is this 6 episodes or 8?
I think they're 8. I'm not sure, though. I hope they have cool props that I can 3D print. Because I think I have something, I've made something from every Star Wars show.
Okay. Well, you can make Jaleel White's little
Head thing?
No.
No?
I mean,
what about just that?
just the little
top
little thing on his head with the two LEDs in it?
I mean, he looks like he's wearing a Lobot.
Yes.
Headpiece with an eye extension.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, maybe you know, maybe since Cloud City, they're selling them. You know, it's the Apple product of the Star Wars universe.
There you go.
It'll be interesting.
I hope so.
I hope it's not too childish. You know, when I see articles like Skeleton Crew creators want the show to follow Harry Potter in a big way. It's like, really?
Yeah. They're not magic. They're not going to Hogwarts.
Well, and this one's got a walkie-talkie from Stranger Things.
Oh, good God.
That's what you're going to print.
Right, I mean, so this is the same problem that
or,
I had.
Or Geordi LaForge's.
Yeah, or Cyclops.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems that I had with Andor, as much as I love Andor, was they end up using present day weapons.
Right.
And it just was like, that's not Star Wars. Like they all look fantastical. And I know like the Stormtrooper rifles are repurposed machine guns.
Sure.
But they have shit added to them.
Right, right. And they're not off the shelf.
No. And they're not just AK-47s with like different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really hope that it just doesn't look like that. And I love Andor. Andor season 2 is what I'm looking forward to next year.
Right.
But goddamn, man. So I watched a really old 80s movie this week.
What was that?
I watched The Last Dragon. It turned up on Netflix, and it was a movie that
I... Is that the one with Vanity?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a movie that I haven't seen in probably 30 years. It's about New York City ninjas.
Okay.
Who
live in the sewer and eat pizza?
No.
Okay.
No. So the main character's name is Bruce Leroy.
Mm-hmm.
And his main antagonist is the Harlem Shogun named Shonuff.
Shonuff.
Shonuff. Who's the master? Shonuff.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the best? Shonuff. It is a really bizarre film that could only be made in the 80s.
Right.
A large part of it takes place in a dance studio.
Mm-hmm.
Because Vanity, you should look up Vanity Kids. She used to be like Prince's girlfriend. She stars in it as this, I guess, video DJ host.
Yeah.
And the entire plot revolves around the fact that she won't play a video from, oh God, what's her name? The redhead from Spin City, not Connie Britton. The woman who is the girlfriend of Richard Kind.
Faith Prince.
Faith Prince. That's it. She's a musical artist who's trying to get her video played.
God, now I have to watch this.
That's how the entire thing goes down. And it is weird. You have this guy, you have this black guy, Leroy,
mm-hmm.
Who dresses in Japanese outfits.
Right.
He walks around with a big straw hat. He eats popcorn with chopsticks. Like, it is madness. He's got a little brother who thinks that he can get into Vanity's pants. Like, it's totally 80s. It's a hoot.
It features a character called Master Sum Dum Goy.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, it's pretty wild. But it's on Netflix if you want to watch it.
I'm going to have to watch it.
It's got a very 80s soundtrack.
Yep. Had a $10 million budget, and it made $33 million at the box office.
And it was still considered a failure.
Hmm.
Which is weird. But now it's a cult classic.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yep. And if for no other reason to watch it, you have to go look at Shonuff's hair. Because he's basically wearing the same hairstyle as Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Yes, he is.
Just in like big shoulder pads and
mm-hmm.
Japanese outfit. And all his crew, like, it's completely 80s, but it's almost like Batman, where his thugs all dress alike.
Okay.
And they're all wearing these leather, like, 1920s football helmets. With headbands with the Japanese
like the samurai suit.
Yeah. Look at that picture.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So yeah, it was pretty funny. Bruce Leroy wears Bruce Lee's outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, definitely, there's definitely a movie they couldn't make today. A modern retelling would be interesting, though.
I don't know how you could pull that off unless it was a complete parody of a parody.
Yeah, maybe. But this takes itself seriously, as if, like, you know, there's martial arts groups running around, you know, Harlem.
You don't think there are?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been in Harlem, so I couldn't tell you. But yeah, it's pretty funny. Definitely a product of its time.
Yeah, I would say so. Right up there with
Nineteen eighties movie,
Shaba Ranks, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, Breakin'.
Yes.
Breakin' and Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
There it is. Yep. Yeah.
I dragged my poor father to see Breakin' 2. When I was back like in the mid-80s, I would spend the couple of weeks in the summer with my grandparents up in the city. And my dad worked in the city, so he was there a lot. And every once in a while, he'd be like, let's go to the movies. What do you want to see? And one time I dragged him to Breakin' 2, where he just sat there and just shook his head the entire time. And the other time, he took me to see Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And we got out of that movie, and he was like, what did I just watch? So, yeah, 80s was a very interesting time for cinema. They decided, I guess, late 70s, early 80s, they decided that teenagers were going to be the key to movies. And so they made all of these Breakin', Last Dragon,
right.
The Outsiders, you know, that started that whole, like, Weird Science, like, these are going to be movies about kids for kids. And that's how we got all those people that are still around now. The Rob Lowe's and the...
The Brat Pack.
Yeah.
Yeah, the actor who played Leroy is named Timac.
Timac. Just one. Well, it was Timac and Vanity.
Right. Exactly. Van Mac.
Vanity's dead, right? Didn't she pass away?
I don't know.
I thought she did.
He's still working as of 2023.
Well, that's good.
He was in yet another Chop Saki movie called The Fearless Three.
Oh. What's his character name? Is it Bruce? Vanity died in 2016.
Okay. Rest in peace. Okay, so it says he's in this movie, but he's not listed in the top cast.
Yeah, you gotta go to the
deep dive.
You gotta go to the deep dive for that.
All right. Where's the appearing as? Timac plays Master Waddell.
Oh. So interesting note about Vanity.
Yes.
So she dated Prince for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then she dated Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue.
Oh.
That's a weird jump. I mean, I guess it's a type. I guess she liked musicians.
Yeah.
But Prince to Nikki Sixx is quite the jump. Yeah, there's a, what's her name?
Faith Prince.
Yeah. Very 80s outfits.
Uh-huh. It's funny how dated most movies from the 80s are.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it's a... Yeah, William H. Macy. A uh-huh. very young William
H. Macy. A very young one.
Yeah, he popped up and I was like, holy shit.
That's crazy.
Because, again, been about 30 years.
Yep.
Very 80s looking decor and... Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, it's on my watch list.
Do you like anime?
Some.
There's a 6-part miniseries on Netflix for Gundam.
Oh, okay.
That I watched that's really, really well done.
Okay.
The lip sync is a little weird because it was made for Japan.
Okay.
And they dub it over in English and... It's animated, so... Well, it's computer-generated. So they never got the mouth shapes right for English. So okay. That's a little weird.
Okay.
But the animation and the story is pretty good. It's not like... it's not like most of the other shows on Netflix. I didn't watch...
Requiem for Vengeance.
Yeah. But okay. it's really well done if you like giant robot movies
okay.
or TV shows. And it's kind of violent for, you know, anime.
A Fight for the Independence of Spacenoids. Is it animated?
Yeah.
Oh. Some of it looks really real.
They do, but like the lip sync's going to drive you crazy.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you can get past that. It's good, though.
Okay, interesting. Very interesting.
Yep. And you might as well look up Arcane, too.
To see. I did look up Arcane. That looks like something I would like.
Okay. My kid will be thrilled.
When it says steampunk, it's like, okay, I'm in.
Is that your thing, steampunk?
No, but I like that. Jules Verne looking world.
All the cogs. Everybody's wearing the goggles.
The goggles. They're riding really giant bicycles.
All the girls have big push-up bras. Oh, those are just at cons.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that might be something I'd be interested in.
Okay.
I'll try them out.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
The worst you can do is turn it off.
Exactly.
You've been watching Lower Decks?
I haven't watched the last one.
No? Okay. Did you see the Starbase 80 one?
Yes.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're a fan of Star Trek, there was a very famous giant schematic of the Enterprise D that had a giant mouse... It had old airplanes and it had whales. And so there's always been this idea that there is a an area on the Enterprise called the Cetacean Station. And it has super intelligent whales. And so this last episode starts out with a cetacean deck on the Cerritos. And that leads to hijinks along the rest of the episode, but I thought it was pretty well done.
Yeah.
You know, Mariner thinking that everybody's cursed when it's really just an evil, like, entity. And I think it's an evil entity from Next Generation.
That would make sense.
But it's a... It's pretty good for, you know, an animated Star Trek show.
Yeah.
I don't know how... many more there are. There's only a couple more. And then they're done.
And then it's done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like there's as many in-jokes this season as there had been. I don't know. Maybe they just feel like it's time to hang it up.
Or are they going to try to take it very seriously and...
I don't know.
Segue into an actual live-action...
Well, there's supposed to be a live-action comedic Star Trek show coming. I don't know if they're going to take some of those characters or not.
Right.
But there's also supposed to be a... Well, they're in the middle of filming a Starfleet Academy.
Right.
That takes place way in the future. Like Discovery timeline in the future. There's the Section 31 movie coming with Michelle Yeoh. Mm-hmm. And then there's supposed to be another movie coming. But maybe not the Chris Pine version.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of Star Trek, did you see the short that was released with Shatner?
I didn't watch it, but I saw a lot about it.
It was very interesting.
Yeah.
It's definitely meant to tug on your heartstrings.
It's where he says goodbye to, what's his name?
To Spock.
Yes.
And this idea that... So, it's been interpreted different ways by different people.
Okay.
Some people think that he's been... Captain Kirk has been brought back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think that this is after his death.
Okay.
I took it as after his death. That he winds up... Because he sees himself as a young man. He sees himself middle-aged. And he sees himself right before he dies. He sees people from his past. Savick is in it from Star Trek 3. There is a character that's standing next to Savick that is supposed to be her and Spock's child. Because in the original cut of Star Trek 4, Savick tells Kirk that she's pregnant with Spock's child, and they cut it out. And then he basically crosses timelines because Spock dies in the Kelvin timeline, which is the Chris Pine universe.
Okay.
To say goodbye to Spock. Or welcome Spock to the other side.
Okay.
Depending on how you read it. But apparently Shatner produced it. He did some of the motion capture. And for anything that they had to do with, like, further away, they hired Sam Witwer.
Yeah, I saw that.
Who plays Darth Maul and a bunch of people in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Animated.
But I thought it was really interesting. And the motion capture's done really well.
Yeah.
There is no speaking. So they get around the lip sync issue.
Oh, okay.
Of, it's just nods and looks and smiles and, like, communication through looks.
Okay.
And I thought it was done really well. That Leonard Nimoy is photoreal.
Yeah.
Like,
he looks good.
He looks just like he did in the movies. There's a ton of stuff that they can pull from for deep fakes and everything else that they've done recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know. It's, as a Star Trek fan, you wanted that closure between the two.
Right.
And they finally got to it. And this is the Roddenberry group who has done other, like, Star Trek shorts.
Right.
But this is the longest one that they've done. This is like 10 minutes long.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I can't lie and say I didn't shed a little tear at the end because, aww, like, it's Leonard Nimoy and, like, right, William Shatner together, and, you know, it's just done really well.
Nice.
I'm hoping that Paramount sees it and is like, this is kind of the stuff that we need to be doing.
So we do a completely deep fake movie?
They could.
Can you imagine the implications of that?
So as long as everybody's willing to, you know, do it, Shatner,
yeah,
signed on for it. The Leonard Nimoy's family signed on for it. You know, I don't see why, as long as everybody's on board.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, do like an ultimate crossover of original series, Next
that,
Generation.
That would be interesting.
Voyager and Deep Space Nine.
That would be really interesting.
You know, Q winds up somehow bringing them all together or something.
Hmm.
And I think, like, you watch Picard, right?
Yeah.
So season two, when Q shows up and he's in his younger self.
Right.
And then he was like, oh, let me age up to be with you.
Right.
And he snaps his fingers. I look like, that's the perfect way to do that, because you're still using those characters.
Right.
You bring in the Next Generation crew, they're going to want to, you know, be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Just age them down.
Right. That could be very cool.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
But yeah, Otoy, who is the people that produce that.
Yeah.
For the Roddenberry organization. They did another one a couple of months ago where it was right before, either right before or right after Picard season 3. And it was the crash ship on Viridian 3 where Starfleet was starting to like get the ship out of there.
Okay.
And Spock shows up to get Captain Kirk's body. And so there is this progression that's been happening. And then in Picard season 3, you find out that Kirk's body is in the station that Riker's on. Because he like looks it up and it's like his body's there, Archer's body is there. So I guess like Starfleet captains, and Picard's body was there, which is why they show up. So big name Starfleet captains, I guess their bodies get sent to this place or whatever. But it's an interesting time for Star Trek. Because, dude, we got all this technology now, and there's nothing they can't do.
Right.
And Strange New Worlds is really good, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Hopefully the rest of them are good. Tribbles.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly brings up an interesting concept of, you know, if the person's not alive and they have no next of kin and, you know, their likenesses were not purchased by some other entity at some point, how do you, is it just free to use?
I don't know. I mean, how often does it happen that somebody dies and has no next of kin? I mean, there's got to be family somewhere.
I guess.
I mean, you know, the Tarkin thing that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, the family was approached, but somebody else had the rights to his likeness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a weird situation. But I don't know. I mean, I had listened to an interview with Jonathan Frakes. He was on a podcast with Katie Sackhoff, who was Starbuck, and Bo-Katan. And she was asking him about shooting Next Generation. And he had mentioned that Next Generation was the first TV series ever to be made for syndication. They had pre-sold 170 episodes.
Wow.
Or whatever it was. And so they knew that they were going to be around. But selling it into syndication meant that the actors' contracts were for less than scale.
Oh, really?
It's the reason that they all do conventions, because they didn't make any money off of it.
Really?
Yeah. They made just enough money to live.
Wow.
And they were on a hit TV show.
Hmm.
So, you know, the fact that they're as tight-knit as they are now and just speaks volumes to, like, that. They were doing, like, 17-hour days.
Holy shit.
And, like, people like Brent Spiner, who had to do, like, 2 hours of makeup.
Hmm.
You know, add that to the shooting schedule. Like, right. That just is crazy. Him mm-hmm. and him, Michael Dorn.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, I don't know who had it worse. Probably Michael Dorn, because Data was just mostly paint.
Right.
But, like, Michael Dorn had to sit through
the headpiece.
The headpiece and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Armin Shimerman
had
a lot, too. And Rene Auberjonois. Because his face piece was pretty elaborate, too. Just, I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know. And Jonathan Frakes also said that there was no residuals from that.
That's crazy that they would get away with that.
It was written in the contract.
Or did they basically think they had no choice?
I don't know.
I mean, obviously it was a smart move, because they're probably making bank off of cons.
Yeah. I would think that by that time, by 1987, Star Trek, the original series, is in syndication. Those actors are making movies, and it was probably one of those things of, like, if we hang in there with this.
Right.
Like, we're going to make some money. And I think they made money off of the movies.
Sure.
But it wasn't until, you know, 7 years later
mm-hmm.
that they really made anything. And Jonathan Frakes also talked, like, Katie Sackhoff started to talk to him about, like, cons. And he was like, she was like, what's the weirdest thing you've ever signed? And he was like, a boob. And she was like, me too. and then he was... She was like, I always feel like the cons are like a day too long. Like, the ones that are 4 days, I can't do 4 days. And he goes, oh, by Sunday? He goes, I can't stand there for pictures because of the smell. And I can't imagine, man.
Yeah.
Like, trying to, because we've been the cons where we've been standing behind people and it's like, oh, God, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Here's some deodorant. But, yeah, I can't imagine, like, having to sit there and, like, you're being paid to do it, but God damn. Like, and those are probably the most ardent fans of, like, I'm your biggest fan.
Right, right.
And they're just, like, breathing in your face. And,
ugh.
Oh, get the con crud. I think Will Wheaton still wears a mask to cons, which I guess is good for him.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah. But, yeah. William Shatner has returned as Captain Kirk.
Well, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, I think he's come around to the idea of, like, this is what's made me famous. And
is still making me money.
Yeah.
Don't look that gift horse.
Yeah, and, you know, it seems to be a thing in Hollywood now. In order to entice people into projects, you become an executive producer
mm-hmm.
of that. I've seen a lot of things recently where you watch the executive producer credits and it's the star of whatever it is. And it's like, all right, so they're giving them some creative control. And so, you know, William Shatner walking in, being able to, like, throw his weight around
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I am this character and you're going to do it this way.
Right.
Probably super enticing to a 93-year-old man.
Is he 93?
I think so.
Isn't he? Holy crap.
Is he? He's somewhere around there.
93. Holy shit.
Yeah. His hairpiece is only 20, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
93. Imagine still being on the circuit.
Well, and...
It must be like when Stan Lee was still doing it, where, like, he'd sign autographs beforehand or off camera.
Well, yeah, I don't know if Shatner's out on the floor with everybody else.
Oh, I'm sure he's not.
But everything that I've seen and heard about him at 93 is he is still super sharp. Like, he's still kind of together and, you know, running around and, like, has aged extremely well. When you look at other 93-year-olds. I mean, look at some 80-year-olds. Mm-hmm. You're like, what the fuck is up with you? But, yeah, I mean, I think he still, like, smokes cigars and stuff. And
wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was 90 when he went into space.
Yeah. I'm sure he still hasn't forgiven Bezos for the thing at the end where he was trying to put into words how he felt.
Yeah.
And Bezos comes over with the champagne.
Right. And it totally cuts him off.
Oh, my God. You're an idiot, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Good for him.
I mean, that means he had to be in his mid-70s when he did Boston Legal.
Yeah.
Now he's 93 and he's back as Captain Kirk.
Hey, more power to him.
Yeah. So, yeah. 1931.
Wow. Hey, good for him.
Yeah. So, if you're a Star Trek fan and you haven't seen it, you should look it up. Especially if you like the original series or the original movies. Because it's funny to think that Star Trek VI came out in 1995? 96? Something like that. And it was about a man facing his mortality.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 30 years younger.
Right.
Than he is right
but
now.
Than he is now. Mm-hmm.
How old is George Takei?
110.
He's 87.
Only 87.
And he's holding up pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, his birthday is a day before mine.
Oh, look at that.
And 30 years after.
Twinsies. He's also worth $14 million.
That's it?
Well, I mean, he wasn't the star of the show. And what did he do between?
I would... Howard Stern.
Okay, how much was Howard Stern paying him?
Oh, no, he was probably a joke. But
I mean, so
I would be very happy with $14
million. Yeah.
Is he in Mulan?
I thought he was in Mulan.
Who does he play in Mulan?
I don't know. Look up his IMDb.
No, I'm going to go right to the point.
Come on, old man.
I was one of the ancestors.
Yeah.
He's first ancestor.
Somebody's got to be first.
Well, there you go. Pivotal role. That's all I'm going to say.
He wasn't in a live action movie, was he?
No.
Yeah. They didn't bring him back, only Ming-Na Wen?
She's not in a live action either.
Yeah, she is.
She is?
Yeah. She's at the very end.
Oh.
You didn't make it that far in the
film. I never even saw it. When they totally changed the story, and I was like, eh. Wasn't interesting.
Well, it's really hard in live action, and they tried to do it, but, like, you can't pretend that she's the dude.
Like, no, of course not.
It just doesn't work.
Well, it's like Victor Victoria.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, nobody's buying this, but we're going to pretend.
But,
Or to Wong Fu. Wesley Snipes' best movie.
That's right. Did you know Ming-Na Wen's in her 60s?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
She also looks really good. Must be an Asian thing.
Must be. It's all the soy sauce.
All the rice. I eat rice, I get fat. I don't understand. So there you go. Oh. Ninja cheerleaders. Okay. I guess he will do anything for money.
Isn't impossible. Clone Wars, do that. Interesting.
He needs a hat trick. He needs another, like, major sci-fi. He did Star Trek and Star Wars.
Right.
So he needs to do something else for the hat trick.
Transformers.
Yeah. I mean, Nimoy did Transformers. He was one of the voices in live action.
Mm-hmm.
So George Takei could do it.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Good for him.
Five roles you didn't know George Takei played for George's 80th birthday? That's a headline?
And it's by an anonymous user account.
Oh God. Can you just submit articles?
Apparently on this site you can.
To fandom.com?
It must be like a wiki.
Wow. I'm going to start making shit up. Jeez. That's so weird. All right. You got anything else for us, Rick?
I can't think of anything.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Gobble, gobble.